I've been thinking for some time about what the Bible has to offer to us in promises. And I would like to share some with you this afternoon. And I know that this is a sleepy time, so I don't plan to preach by myself. I want this to be a time that we study God's Word together. So what I'd like for you to do is, I have something I'd like to share with you first, but I would like for you to be thinking in your own mind of some promises that are familiar to you. When I first started looking at this subject, I thought, okay, I know some promises. I looked at one man said that he researched through the Bible, and he found 8,800 promises. When I looked at the definition of a promise, it's an assurance that one will do for another what has been agreed upon. You know, there's a big difference between me promising you something and God promising you something. You know, I can have every good intention of fulfilling that promise. I can tell you next Saturday, I'm going to meet you here when y'all had your work day. I could have said, I'm going to be there. And have every good intention of being there. And something happens, the truck won't start, or something happens and it cannot be fulfilled. That's because that's a man's promise. Now it's good, it says it's better not to make a vow than to make it and not keep it. I'm not talking about us making a promise and before it's over, we want to back out on it. But I'm talking about just man's promise and desiring to fulfill it still falls very short of what God is able to do. So I was thinking about the promises, and again, there are so many songs that we have in our songbook that mesh together with it. One of them, song number 198, the second verse, "Blessed hope we have within us, it's an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. It is founded," where's it founded? "On the promises of Father's written word, and will evermore endure." Well, you know what? If those promises are that valuable, I would like to start storing them away better in my mind. It seems like I've got just so much mental capacity, and I find I've been storing a lot of things in it. You know, we got all this coming on, COVID and the election and all those things. What if I would take a little more mental capacity and store away some of God's promises? Because those things have a surety to them. We have no promise. You know, our economy has no promise to it. You see how much it changed just with something that none of us could control. It's amazing to me to see how much it affected our world's economy from a flu bug that got out. It tells me we're very vulnerable. But it tells me also, I tell you what, God's promises are very valuable then when I find a man is unable to keep his. There's a verse in 2 Peter 1 and 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." You know, if we can just see the value of the promises that are written in the Word, not just the one that God himself said, but those that were inspired by other writers that God gave to them. Exceeding great and precious promises. We have a song number 512, "Standing on the promises which cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God." I looked over in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I'd like for you, as you think of a promise in a little bit, be ready to share it to where I have some that I remember. But I found out as I started studying, there's a lot that as soon as a little bit of it would be given to me, I would remember it. But I think it's real important for us in the times that we're living in to be able to have some stored away because they are very sure. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, to the glory of God by us. You know what? Where I am unable to fulfill some promises, God created this earth. Take a look at the first chapter of Genesis and what he did just with nothing more than a word. He spoke, and all that we see today came into existence just from him speaking it. If he could do that to nature, what can he do to my little problems that I come up with that seem so big? But I need to be, if I'm going to stand on the promises, I need to store some of them away. I need to start searching out, where are they? What do they offer me? I was thinking of another song, Not One Promise Hath He Broken. Faithful to his trust is he. Joy is mine beyond all measure when my Savior talks with me. So I'm thinking this afternoon for a little while about some of the promises that God made. There is one that we can visually see, a promise that God made years and years ago. And there are days that I can step outside and I see the promise. There are some promises in the Bible that are hinged to something I do if I want this promise to be fulfilled. Well, the promise that I'm thinking about right now has no hinge to it. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist. It doesn't matter if you believe in God. This promise is going to be shown to you. What is that promise? A rainbow. When we see a rainbow in the sky, now people can believe whatever they want to about the colors and all like that. But it goes way back, and let's just look at it for a little bit. Because I think it's very important for us when we're talking about God and the promises that he makes. This is in Genesis 9. All these years later, this promise has still been fulfilled. Genesis 9 and 11. I'm going to establish my covenant with you. Neither shall flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. 13th verse, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So, you know, so we say there's many things about tomorrow that I don't understand. One thing I do understand, I got a confidence there'll never be a flood again that will destroy the earth because God said it. And I can look in the sky and I can see that rainbow that is a token of the promise that he made. We're living in a time where people are very worried about the environment, that we're going to self-destruct. We've got to get to electric cars only because this thing is going downhill fast. We've got this global warming problem. That's what they used to call it anyhow, was global warming. But after it came out and we really had that established, it's global warming, that's the problem. There was a huge snow in Washington, D.C. You may remember it. It shut down all businesses. Nobody could move. It was so deep that there was nothing going on. And somebody made a sign and stuck it in the snow and said, what about global warming? Well, you will hear now they've changed that because that won't stick. About the time we say it's too hot, it gets too cold. So they will say it's global change. It's change in the seasons. Well, I want to tell you something. There's a promise in the Bible that God's going to take care of everything. And what I want to encourage you this afternoon with is let's start trying to, even after you go home from here, start taking some of those promises. Where are they? When I hear that this whole thing is going down, the environment is going down, if we don't do something in 10 years, it's all going to be over for us. Let's remember something. This is in Genesis 8 and 22. This is a promise. While the earth remaineth, there's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. Just, well, that is a simple answer to the problem that the environmentalists have, that this thing is all going to be self-destructed. I believe it's important for us to take care of what God has given us in nature, but I believe He also gave it to us to be able to use and enjoy. And let's always remember this one. While this earth remains, and we're not going to be the one that bring it to an end, it's going to be the day that He decides that He's going to close it out. And until then, there's going to be cold and there's going to be heat. There's going to be ice storms come to Oklahoma, and there's going to be tornadoes come, and there's going to be hurricanes come. And environmentalists are trying to take all those things and switch them around to this is why it's happening. No, God is in control, and He always will be. There is a promise that was made to Joshua. In the first chapter of Joshua, and if you would put yourself in his shoes for a little bit, Joshua, the first chapter, and the second and the third verse, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. Now, if you had that verse given to you today, if there was a man that owned a big enough tract of land, and he told you, every place that you walk from tomorrow morning sunrise till tomorrow night when the sun set, every place you walk on this land that I have will be yours tomorrow night. How long would you stop for breakfast or for lunch? It'd be nonstop. I'll get a drink tonight. Whenever this is over, I'll get me a drink of water. It would be nonstop stepping. Well, you know what? We have been given a bunch of promises. Every place that you, the sole of your foot, treads upon, every promise that you are willing to put your faith and confidence in that God can take care of it, it'll be ours. There was a time where a salvage yard put out a promise. You know, we're all the time, we want parts, but we go to a salvage yard to be able to get them. Well, this place said, we're going to make you a promise. On this one day, here is what the sales will be. We're going to draw a line in the dirt at the salvage yard. You go back there and get whatever you want, and you bring it to the line. If you can pick it up and carry it across the line, it's yours for the same price. It's all the same price, $25 or whatever. Well, there was one man, he came there, because what would you do? Would you say, well, I tell you what, all I need is a starter, so that's all I'm going to do. But no, he came there to take advantage of the offer. And he had a rope. And when he left out of there, I don't know how he was able to tie it on, but he had a transmission. He had all kind of parts, but he had roped them to where they hung over his body. And he stumbled, staggered across the line, and it was his. Well, you know, when there's a promise given, how much do you take advantage of the promise? I don't know if any of y'all go to Golden Corral. Have you ever walked out of there and your stomach's growling from being hungry? If it is, it's your fault. Because really what they said was, look, we have a promise here for you. You can eat till you're finished. But it is a promise that they give you. And if you said, well, you know what, I am still so hungry, I ate just a little bit of lettuce and that's all I had, I'm going to have to go somewhere to eat. Well, no, there was a promise made. And you know, I look at this one here. God has made promises for us. You know, I can go through life and not be taken advantage of those promises. They're still there. It didn't shut them off just because I didn't take advantage of them. It didn't shut them off because many people say, I don't believe that. You remember over in, I believe it's in Romans. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? You know, because people say that they don't believe that God created the earth, is that going to affect me? I was looking at this verse. I believe I have it right. 3:3. What if some did not believe? You know, we have a lot of unbelief in the world around us today. Don't even believe there's a God. not willing for his Ten Commandments to be posted. Well, what if they don't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. May I be able, as I look at the promises of God, and others say, don't think there's anything to it, that I don't allow that to affect my confidence in God. So, whenever I look at the promises that are given and how they would apply to my life, I'd like to look at another verse. This is in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. And what about if the promises were used like this? 59 and 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, as I looked at this verse, I thought about it this way. When the enemy comes in like a flood with the problems that I'm faced with, the Spirit of the Lord would like to lift up a standard against him, and he would like to use some tools that I have available. Some of the promises that are in the Word of God that I have stored away in my mind, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is able to take those promises that I have stored away and lift up a standard against him. So there are a lot of scriptures, and I would like for you now, and as we're looking at some of them, do you have a promise that you are familiar with, that you have maybe Bible verses that were given to you as a child? You know, we have the children say their verses, and it's not to be, I want you to know what my child can learn. You know what? It's storing away something to be able to use. Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. But I've also hid it in my heart so that it will be part of that lifting up a standard against the devil when the enemy comes in like a flood. So, do you have a promise that you see in the Bible that you'd like to share?
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall.
Okay. Make your calling and election sure. And it gives us a list of those things to be doing. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, there are some people that teach that if you make a decision for Christ, you cannot miss heaven after that. No, this says, if you do these things, there are some things that we must do to be able to make heaven our home. And if I do these things, there are going to be some promises. And when you're looking through the Bible at those promises, look for the ones that have a key to open them. There are some promises, the promise about never being a flood again, there's no key to that. It's just his promise to everybody. But this one says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. So we could just turn it around and say, if you don't do these things, you can fall. So that's a promise that requires a key. Okay?
In all my ways acknowledge him, he shall direct my path.
Okay, Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 is very valuable. Trust in the Lord. Here's our part. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So far, all this is our part. And then his part steps in. And he shall direct your paths.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Which one do we like when we're going to go to sleep at night? And we want the Lord to watch over us. What verse would we use? Psalms 34 Let's look at that at Psalms, the 34th chapter. This is another promise that he's given. 34 and 6 through 8. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. A promise to me in a troubled time that we're living in, that God watches over us while we're asleep. Okay?
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Okay? This I say, walk in the Spirit. So it tells us something is going to be happening if we're walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is a commandment. It says this is the first commandment with promise. What would that be? Okay. Look at Ephesians. If you get Ephesians 6 and 1, and we'll be able to see what was the promise that was given. Ephesians 6 and 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. A promise was given. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. Okay? Okay, that's a good one. That one again shows that we've got the key. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I looked over in Psalms. Psalms 91. And when you look at that chapter, it's just like it's a promise chapter. It has so many things from beginning to end, but I'll just get a few of them. Psalms 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Seventh verse, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And on down in the 14th verse, this is talking about when I have taken the key and used it. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. All that chapter is given to those that use the key. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? Does anyone have another?
Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you.
That's a promise. In my thinking, you know, we had trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In my thinking, should it be headed the wrong direction, I have this promise. God will reveal even that to me. He is able to see the desire of my heart. And he knows if I want to make heaven or if I am, Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't have these promises to fall back on because their interest was, I am only interested in what the people will think of me. Folks, we got to have something much deeper than that. I want to be able to be concerned about what God thinks about me. And when I have done that, he has promised that he will reveal to me things that need to be adjusted in my life. Isaiah 40, and when I look at this one, I think of the abbots. Isaiah 40 and 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no strength, he increases strength. No might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But here's the verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You remember the song they sang? Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees until you're in your own good time, you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. And then the chorus was this one. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then it ended with, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
There is one with a key. I be faithful unto death. And you know, he will even help me with that one. I'll be faithful unto death, and his promise will kick in. I will give you a crown of life.
The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be my God.
You know, a lot of times we want to think of God's promises as being pleasant things. He's going to always give good things to me. This one says, let's all keep in mind, the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. It's a promise, just like all the promises that he'll watch over us when we're sleeping at night. He also is going to bring this thing to an end. So let's always remember, 2 Peter, the third chapter, is one of God's promises. This earth will melt with fervent heat. This, what we see around us today, will come to an end, and we will all go out into eternity. And what a carefulness it needs to wrought in us. Okay. 1 John 5 and 18. We hear these words sometimes, eternal security. But some people that use those words means that once you're saved, you will always be saved, no matter what you do. That's not what eternal security is talking about. This one, but it is possible to be secure. 1 John in the 5th chapter and in the 18th verse. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. A promise that in 2020, when wickedness abounds all around us, there's a place for me to live. But look at this. Here's part of it is my responsibility. He keepeth himself. That means that I am going to shut off some things that can cause me trouble. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself. Okay, 1 John, the third chapter. There are some promises that are made to us. Behold, what manner of love, the third chapter, first verse, the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. World knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. A thought of heaven out ahead. You know, that's a promise all through the scripture. What is it in the 14th chapter of John? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise. But you know, that promise has a key that is needed from us. And this is in this third verse of 1 John. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, there's some things that I've got to be able to do to activate that scripture, that he went to prepare a place for me, and he's coming back to take me home to be with him again. Okay? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You know, that's a promise that I can use every day. Because really, even if I look at a situation and I feel like I know the answer for this, I need to always realize, you know what, I don't have all the pieces to the puzzle, no matter how much I think I do. And if I lack wisdom, I need to recognize, first of all, I do lack wisdom. Let him ask of God. He doesn't upbraid me because I don't have the answers. In fact, I think he's pretty happy when I acknowledge to him what he already knows, that I need his help to be able to make the right decisions. Let us ask him. He won't upbraid us, and he'll help us out with that. So what my hope is, that this will kind of whet your appetite. Because we're living in some dark times. And the devil would love to take us as a Christian and bow us down underneath all the load of the cares and everything that's going on, to where we don't have the victory to be able to show to the world that we should show. But I take all these promises, and they don't say unless the world gets to this condition, and then the promises are not going to be activated. Mm-mm. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They will be secure for us. Okay, does anyone have another book? What about the verse? No good thing, this is Psalms 84 and 11. No, this is a promise. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What would you put in that category as a good thing for your life? That's what we've got to do. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know what? If I'm looking for temporal things, I'm going to come up shorthanded because I'm going to say his promises don't work. I wanted a new BMW, and I didn't get it. And that would have been a good thing for me. No, what he's looking at is spiritual things. Because there's another promise, another thing in there. When I realize the value of the promise, it says, it was good for me that I had been afflicted. Now, wait a minute. Have you ever felt like sickness is a good thing? Never. Unless I realize that it possibly can be my help to making heaven my home. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And with that one is another promise. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We have a knowledge of that. There's a song that we sing, just to know that he knows. It says, it will work for my good, but here's the key again, if my Savior I love, he assures me he knows and he cares. Just to know that he knows, that my Lord understands, and his look of compassion to see, it soothes the pain in my heart. It's a balm for my wounds, bringing comfort and peace unto me. So before we close, does anybody else have another?
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
That's a very good promise for us to remember. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him.
The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Okay? Now that's a promise right there. Delight thyself in the Lord. That's kind of like that other verse that we think of, no good thing will he withhold. Delight thyself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Is that an open checkbook? You delight in the Lord and you're going to be loaded with some things, some material goods. And I know that that's a good verse right there. He will give you the desire of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There are so many. I'm not up to the 8,000 that he's found, but it just started opening up to me. Verses that I just kind of skimmed over. And now I realize, wow, there are exceeding precious promises. You know, I'm going to let my mind dwell on something, even over the next few days. What will it be? Is it going to be a benefit to me, or is it going to be a hindrance? I'll never be hurt by dwelling on the promises that God has given and what they can do for me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. It is just an abundance of promises that God has given us.
Is there another online?
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you.
Yes.
Thank you. Humble yourselves, here's my part, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Maybe someone else online has one.
Anyone else online?
I think we heard this morning about Paul when he went to the Lord three times asking him to deliver him from a problem that he was faced with, and he received a promise. My grace is sufficient for thee. No matter what kind of problem there is, I've got grace for that problem. My grace is sufficient. And you know, when he gave him that, and it was different than the request that Paul had put in, Paul wanted deliverance from the problem. God tells him he's got grace for the problem. You know, Paul could have become discouraged from that. What good are all these promises that you say you're going to give me good things when you allow me to keep this affliction? You know, Paul had just had a vision not too long before that. He even mentions it right in the beginning of that chapter. Caught up to the third heavens. He's called him a picture of paradise. Probably the greatest that any person on earth has been able to get. And I think that picture is what held him. Okay, I'm going to carry this affliction. But he said, most gladly, therefore, will I endure this. It's not just, okay, I'll have to put up with it. But I'm going to rise up on top of this thing because God does have grace that is sufficient. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, that can be taken as a promise. He is able to set up kings and put down kings. You know, that's a good promise for us, that God is in control of things that we thought were man was in control of. Let's be able to see those promises and take full advantage of them. Does anyone have another that you want to share before we... I tell you, he made some promises back there. I mean, they were just outright to the children of Israel. I believe it is Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. He gave half of that chapter. If you obey my commandments, your fields are going to be, your storehouses are going to be, all these things are going to be great. But it was hooked on to his, that great promise was tied to one little verse there. If you will obey my commandments. This promise that we have right there that was given, that you'll find some verses right around there, though, that's going to attach it to something. He didn't just make it an open promise like he did about the rainbow. This is just available for anybody. I don't care if you love me or don't love me. I'm going to just keep on pouring them out. No, you would see him with the children of Israel pouring out his blessings on them while they were doing their part. 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's like you can't get away from these blessings. When you're living for me, they're just going to overtake you. But he also, at the end of that, the other half of that chapter, if you choose not to obey me, all of the things that he had promised that were good, he turned them around and said, these very same things will be to your detriment. Okay, any other before we close? Okay, I've got a song that I'd like to end with. Because, you know, really, this is not about us being real strong in ourselves and being able to have it. This is a promise that God has made to us and us being able to accept his promise. I'd like for us to sing number 51, The Solid Rock. You know, in a troubled time, there is still something with stability that I can attach myself to. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is cut, and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That third verse, here's what's going to support me. His oath, those promises that he has made. Not one promise has he broken. Faithful to his trust is he. His oath, his covenant, his blood will support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. And that will be plenty when we can trust in God. I desire your prayers.
The Bible.